Blog Talk Radio.
Give us just a little. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you for another day of life. We thank you for this Shabbat, Father. We thank you for just allowing us this time with you, Father. We ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we have committed and that you hear our prayer, Father. Father, just thank you once again for this time, Father, this breath of life that you have bestowed upon us this day, Father, for your mercy, Father, for your grace, for your everlasting love, Father. Father, we ask that you open our eyes and open our ears up to your word. We ask that you continually grow us, Father, that you chastise us when we go to the left and to the right, Father, to get us back on your path, Father. We ask, Father, that you show us our wrongdoings, Father. Make us to understand. Make us to understand your word. Make us more obedient to your word, Father. Continue to grow us. Continue to move us and guide us in the way that is pleasurable to you, Father. Grow us into the people that you want, Father. Allow us to do your will, Father. Allow us to see through your eyes and understand through your mind, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to protect all of Israel, Father, especially the children, especially the Zakins and Zakinas, all over the world, Father. Protect them as they praise your name today, Father, and give you glory that you deserve, Father. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. And it's through him that we give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered for truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Lashana Tuva. Hallelujah, hallelujah. New year in Yahweh. New day in Yahweh. If I'm sounding okay, just shoot someone a message and it'll pop up and everybody will know. I hope everybody's doing well in this quarantine that we're going through. To be honest, man, I miss you guys. I miss y'all dearly. I miss the gathering together of Yisrael. I miss physically being in the presence of my brothers and my sisters. I miss the singing that goes on and when we're together, you know, our sister Samaria get back there with everybody and get the plan, and Elior, everybody get to singing, and it just fills the room. I miss the presence of my brothers and my sisters. I miss the kids. I miss Nathaniel. Miss Yehuda. You know, I just miss y'all. You know, but this is what's going on now, and it's adaptation. You know, we just have to adapt to this situation that's going on that has separated us physically, you know, but mentally we're together, you know, mentally we're all one through Mashiach Yahushua, you know, and our Father Abba Yah. So, yeah, but just had to let y'all know. I miss you guys. I miss y'all. And today we're going to talk about the quarantine and everything that's going on. And one of the things that I found really interesting, you know, up to this point, there's been a lot of chatter on the lines, not so much chatter, but thoughts thrown out there, you know, our sister Malka put out there. I wonder if this is with the sabbatical year. Good thought. You know, why is it the quarantine came up at the beginning of the year, right? Right as a bead coming in. Now, everybody, chill out. Everybody stay at the house. You know, those who got to go to work, But for the most part, everybody's supposed to be in the house. You know, why does it happen at this time and at this point? You know, and what's the whole point of it? You know, me and my brother Ahab was talking, and, you know, we're going to get into that today. But, you know, the world is slowly realizing that Yahweh is right. They obey the Torah and don't know that they're obeying the Torah when it comes to a lot of things, you know, but especially in this situation, you know. So one of the first things we're going to do, we're going to read the definition of quarantine. And it's a verb. In the verb sense, it means impose isolation on. So a quarantine is just mean you're just isolating something. That's all it is. You're separating it from everything else. In the noun sense, it says the state, period, or place of isolation for animals or persons that have arrived elsewhere or been exposed to infectious or contagious disease are placed. So in the noun sense, it's just talking about the place that you're isolated. But the quarantine itself, being a verb, is to impose isolation. Well, this is something that Yisrael should be used to. This is our lot in life, so we shouldn't trip about this. You know, Yahweh, from the beginning, quarantined us. If you want to say separate, if you want to say make holy, if you want to say isolate, all of them mean the same thing. You know, Yisrael is a quarantined nation. Period. He did that. When you look at the Levites, and he separated them from the rest of the tribe, what did he do? You know, the semantics. But this is our lot in life. So this is something, and that's why I say, Abba, why at the beginning of the year is this allowed to happen? What you trying to show us? You know, what you trying to show us by allowing this germ, this virus to go on at the beginning of the year, right as, you know, everything is coming in? What you trying to tell your people? You know, because everybody out there is frantic. We shouldn't be frantic. We should be, you know, we take our precautions. Again, you know, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to tempt the Most High. Don't tempt the Most High. You know, our brother, our Zaken, has been put out the food for thought. Have those herbs in the house. Increase that immune system. Just in case. You know, Yahweh didn't say be foolish about the situation and not do things to survive it just in case. You know, because you don't know, right? Hopefully everybody is not coming in contact with everybody. You know, those who have to go to work have to go to work. Hopefully if you don't have to go nowhere, don't go nowhere. You know, don't go nowhere. Plain and simple. Lower your chances of it. You know, if you don't have to venture out, you know, go to the grocery store, grab what you need, come home. You know, live that boring life. You know? But more importantly, with this quarantine happening at the beginning of the year and Passover coming, how are you spending this time? You know, What are you using this time for? Why do you think he allowed it at this time? You know? So, let's look at a couple of verses. All right. We're going to start in the book of Leviticus, chapter 15. We go on verses 1 through 14. All right. Leviticus chapter 15, starting at verse 1. You guys say hallelujah. All right, I'm starting to read now. Leviticus 15, 1. Yahweh spoke unto Moshe and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man have a running issue out of his flesh, because of this issue, he is unclean. Now, we're familiar with this chapter. This is what you're supposed to do when issues arrive out of your flesh. You know, how it puts you in a state of uncleanness or in a state of contamination, right? Now, we're using this, it specifically is talking about running issues that flow, issues that run out of your flesh. But the rules for contamination are the rules for contamination. And this is what, listen to what Yahweh say. And compare it to what these doctors and these on TV are saying. And they're telling you the best way to handle this is to wash your hands, wash your clothes, wash your hands, and self-isolate. Well, let's see what Yahweh got to say about this. It says, start back in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke unto Moshe and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man have a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. So he's contaminated, right? Verse 3. And this shall be his uncleanness and his issue. Whether his flesh run with the issue or his flesh stop from the issue is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that have the issue is unclean. And everything whereupon he sitteth shall be unclean. So down at the hospital, we have people who are sterilizing the tables because people are eating on these tables. So you're sterilizing this table, making it fit for use, you know, every couple hours. Every hour, or not every hour, but every couple hours. I think they're doing it 2, 3, or 4 times a day, something like that. At least twice a day it happens, you know, but That's the one thing you do. That's what y'all look. He says, every bed where he lies, that issue is unclean. Everything where if he sitteth shall be unclean. Whosoever touches his bed, wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. So if you're touching something that this man who has a running issue or is contaminated because he has the issue, now he touched something, it's contaminated. He sat his contamination on furniture. Now you go to sit on the furniture. What do I always say? Wash your clothes, wash yourself, and say unclean to the evening. That's no different than saying self-isolate. It's no different. The world is telling you exactly what Yahweh said do way back when these issues pop up. You know, he had the answers are here. But again, nobody wants to give credit where credit is due. And they say, and the doctors are saying, the scientists are saying, this is the best way to fight it. Well, I bet it is. You know, consider where the source came from. Consider the source. Yahweh knows how to fight these things, right? He says, verse 6, he says, and he that says on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. Verse 7, He that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. So those who come in contact, you come in contact with the flesh, you bumping up and wash your clothes, bathe yourself, self-isolate. That's what Yahweh say do, right? Verse 8, and he that hath the issue spit upon him that is unclean. Think about all that's going on now. Yahweh thought of this eons ago. Eons ago. He didn't told you what to do eons ago. He said, and if he that had the issue spit upon him that is clean, that he shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that had the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever touches anything that is under him shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So, you know, you got a guy, maybe think you have what people call totals, that can't help themselves. They're totally disabled, so they can't dress themselves. They can't do for themselves. So somebody got to change them. Somebody got to do for them. But what if they're unclean? So what they say, he that's bearing this stuff for them, okay, after you change their clothes and this, that, and another, wash your clothes, wash your body, self-isolate. You know, again, the answers are there. God, we already knew. He said, this is how you handle this situation. So ain't no need to bug out like the whole world is doing. Ain't no need to bug out. Let's say you do bump into somebody. You know exactly what to do. Wash your clothes. Wash your body. Self-isolate. You know? If you come in contact, you know, because I ride the bus. You know? And people bump into you on the bus all the time. So when I get home, you know what I'm doing? You know, that's the rules. That's what Abba say, dude. This is how you battle this. Right? He says, verse 10, and whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean till the evening. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. Verse 11, and whosoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. Verse 12, and the vessel of earth that he touches, which have the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed with every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. Wow. So now the things that you eat and drink out of, things that hold water, your bowls and this, that, and another. Now we have disposable stuff, you know. But if during this time, good to use paper plates. You know, good to use plastic cups. You know, stuff that you can get rid of. You know, the one-time use things. A lot of the stuff down the hospital, they don't have one-time use things no more. They don't have all the plastic cups out and anything like that, because somebody touched the plastic cup, then they stick it on the fountain drinks or whatever. There's a high chance of contamination. But, you know, if you're using these things and somebody come into contact, here you go, here's a cup. Eat a cup. You know, drink from the cup and throw it away. You know, if you're thinking you came in contact with something like that, good time to use disposable stuff. He says, the vessel of earth that he touches, which have the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that had the issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day, he shall take to him two turtle doves and two young pigeons, and come before Yahweh unto the door of the tabernacle congregation, and give them unto the priests. So, again, after you're cleansed of your issue, thank Abba. And that's the one thing none of these people are going to do. None of them. I saw on YouTube a couple of people who had the coronavirus, and they're describing it as like the worst thing ever. I don't know. I didn't catch it. You know, so I get it. But if you're cured from it, thank Yahweh that you're cured from it, because a lot of people didn't. A lot of people did not make it. A lot of people are dying from it, you know, and in a lot of cases it's because they didn't take the necessary precautions, or they didn't have a strong immune system, a strong enough immune system to fight it off, you know. But if you survive this thing, thank Yahweh. And that's the one thing the world ain't going to do. They're going to big up these scientists. They're going to big up all the doctors and the nurses. Don't get me wrong. They deserve not praise, but they deserve a thanks. But Yahweh deserves the thanks. You know? That's who's going to, you know, you give honor to that doctor if they treated you and you feel better. Give the credit where the credit is due. But ultimately, the credit is Yahweh's. Ultimately. So, okay. I don't want to do that one yet. Exodus chapter 11, we're starting at verse 1. So we know dealing with Pesach, right before Pesach. This happens. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. And it reads, Yahweh said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moshe was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and the sight of his people. And Moshe said, thus saith Yahweh, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how Yahweh doth put a difference between Egyptians and Israel, or how Yahweh has quarantined you. Israel, you're going to hear all this wailing, all this crying, all this noise and commotion. But in Israel, he said, a dog won't even bark at this time. A dog isn't even going to move his tongue in Israel. Why? I shut y'all off from it. I quarantined y'all from what's going on out in the world, Israel. Y'all are separated. Y'all are quarantined. Y'all are isolated. Right? He says, verse 8, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. We're going to verse chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It reads, excuse me, Exodus 12, Shemot 12:1. It reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, you shall take unto them, they shall take unto them, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or the goats, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the house, wherein you shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall see it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with fire, not all with water, but roasted with fire, his head and his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in a haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. That's another thought that came out of our brother Ahab. Was talking about it. Yahweh executing judgment the beginning of the year against the world, allowing this to happen. No St. Patrick's Day this year. No St. Patrick's Day parade nowhere. Trump yelling about Easter. He want the churches packed for Easter. I want businesses back and all this stuff. But go there if you want. Go there if you want. Go there if you want. What you ought to do is what Yahweh is telling you to do. Sit your butt down. Stay in the house. And think. Again, use this time wisely. Right? He says, verse 13. Excuse me, back to 12 for a minute. He said, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Again, I'm separating you. The blood will let me know this house quarantined. This house has my marker on it. Just jump over it. Don't worry about it. Just skip this one. All right, kill him, kill him, kill him. Miss this one. Kill him, kill him. Let the wailing begin. right? Israel has been and supposed to be in a state of quarantine their whole life. A state of holiness, isolation, again, semantics. But we've been in an affair with this world for a while now. We've been wanting to mingle ourselves with this world for a while now. To the point where Abba stepped in. And he stepped in such a way that if you don't get it, you might not ever get it. So he says this, you know, something else we was talking about, me and Marielle was talking about, when you look at what happened with Africa, with all these locusts and this, that, and another, well, they got the coronavirus over there too, so they getting double whammy. I just read an article on it. He said they over there battling the coronavirus, and here comes some locusts to eat up everything. So now you can't breathe or eat. Think Abba plan? He's not. Verse 14, he says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever." Okay. All right. I put a little too much on that one. All right. All right. So let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Starting at verse 1. Devarim 32, 1. He says this, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our mighty one. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And for all his ways are judgment. A El of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite Yahweh, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?" So now Moshe is talking about how Israel corrupted his ways and how we think we can reprove Yahweh. We can, when you look up the word requite in the Hebrew, number 1580, that word is gamal, and it means to treat a person well or ill, benefit. That is to benefit or requite by implication of toil to ripen, but specifically to wean. So you think you can treat Yahweh any old kind of way? He says he's your father. He brought you. He made you. Right? We became corrupted and crooked. Right? Remember that. Verse 7. Says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So when Yahweh divvied up the nations, and he said, look, the sons of Adam, okay, Canaanites go over here, these people go over here, these people go over here. Look, I got this space. Canaanites ain't doing right. Look, I'm going to move Israel into this space. He set that up, right? He set the bounds of the people. He made the separations of the lands for the people. He says, he did it according to the number of the children of Israel. So he already had a plan in mind where he wanted his people to be at and quarantined at and isolated at, right? He says, for Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and was in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. So I found Israel. I led them through this land. Again, remember, they walked through all the land that they was going to inherit. They walked through it. He showed it to them, right? He led them about in the wilderness. He instructed them. I gave these statutes and these laws to Jacob. I ain't do so with other nations. Verse 11. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth about her wings, taketh them, beareth them on wings. So Yahweh alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. There wasn't no strange God with Israel when all this was going on. And when it was one found out, what happened? They got killed. Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Did thou drinkest the pure blood of the grape? But Yeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. For he forsook Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Because Yahweh was doing so much good for Israel, they grew fat. That's what he said. You grew gross. You got big-headed. And you kicked against Yahweh. You started fighting Yahweh back, right? So what did you do? You corrupted yourself. It says, they provoked him with jealousy, with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to Elohim, to gods who they knew not, to new gods that came, newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten El that formed thee. This is what's happening with Israel, right? Okay. So Israel was contaminated. Israel was corrupt, right? Verse 19. And when Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So what did he do? He quarantined them. I'm going to watch them, what happens. And these nations that's around them, we're going to see what's going on. We're going to watch what happens with Israel because they have no faith in me. They have no faith in me. So now, just like these doctors, when stuff happens with them, you set them up in the isolation and you watch. you sit back and you watch. So at the beginning of this year, Yahweh shut everything down. You don't think he's watching us to see how we're going to react to this? We've been getting a lot of lessons on faith, a whole bunch of them. So what do you do? Shut everything out. Let's see if my kids got faith. Matter of fact, I think Malka or somebody just sent something out about Hebrews, that scripture in Hebrews. Talking about what faith is. Right? So let's see what my children do. Let's see what Israel does in this situation. Right? So, again, Israel has been in a state of isolation and a state of quarantine their whole life. Again, semantic, separation, holy, yada, yada, yada. But one of the things that I was talking to my brother Ahab about is that when you look up the etymology of a word, now, to define the word, that's just the definition. That's how this word is going to be used in our language, so to speak. You know, when you look up the word quarantine, it meaning a place of isolation or the act of isolation, you know. But when you look at the word quarantine from the etymological, yeah, I said it real slow, etymological standpoint, right, it actually means 40 days, right? So when you think of the quarantine now and you think of 40 days, what comes to your mind? Right? When our brothers went up, let's look at Genesis. First of all, let's look at Genesis 7:4. Let's start there. Right? And this is the account with Noah. Right? He says, we're going to start at 7:4. Well, we'll start at 1. It says, Genesis 7:1, Bereshit 7:1. It says, and Yahweh said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep the seed alive upon the soil of all the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the earth, from off the face of the earth. So we know what happened. The flood came, killed everything except for Noah and everything that was inside of the boat, quarantined. And it's so funny that the word quarantine, where it comes from, let me look it up again, because it actually has to do with ships. It was a time when boats would go, all right, here it is. All right. It's an Italian word. It is quarantine, right? I'm sorry. Quarantana. It comes from that word, which means 40, which went into this word quarantina, which means 40 days, right? And it actually comes from boats. So when boats would travel back and forth, a lot of times they would have rats, and the rats rats and mice and stuff like that, they would bite and get into the packaging and the sailors and stuff like that. They would give them different various diseases. So when various diseases was found on the boats, what they did was kept them in the harbor. They quarantined it. And the quarantine is 40 days. That's how long they kept them in the harbor, you know, to make sure nothing got off that boat that would kill the people of the city, the wherever it was delivering it to, you know, to make sure of the safety of the people. So this is where this word gets comes from, you know. Now, you think of what happened with Noah, right? He says, the whole purpose of you getting all these animals and everything is to preserve the seed, to make sure life continues. Because I'm killing everything. Everything got to go, right? Everything is in such a bad state that it has to go. So I'm making it rain for 40 days, 40 nights. Everything dies except for you, your wife, your sons, and their wives, and these animals that's on this boat that is quarantined from that. They're isolated from that. Right? Oops, wrong button. Two times our brother Moshe went up in that mount. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24:18. Exodus 24:18. It reads, Moshe went up into the midst of the cloud and got him into the mount. And Moshe was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Also again in Exodus 34. Right? Exodus 34:28. He says, let's read 27 first. Exodus 34:27 says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and Israel. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, the first time, Yahweh wrote them. Remember, it talked about how Yahweh wrote him with his finger, wrote those commandments with his finger. The second time, Moshe had to write. But what was the purpose of calling him up to that mountain and separating him, quarantining him away from everything that was going on? Because remember Moshe's life. It got to the point where they was, Moshe did everything. He humbled himself in every situation, except for that one situation where they finally got to him. Do I have to bring water out of this rock? That one situation, put that one little, oh man. Got a blemish. All right, Moses, let me talk to you, son. Let me get this spot off you right quick. I got to quarantine you from this. Because these dudes that made you lose your mind. So let's talk. Another one that went up. Our brother Eliyah. Oh, where is it? First 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at let's start at verse 1. 1 Kings 19:1. He says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me more, and also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Yehuda, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. I didn't have Think of the state of mind that these men are in, right? Before they went up to see Yahweh, right? He says, and he requested for his life that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked onto the coals. There was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of Yahweh came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of Elohim. Right? So he went up. He got to Horeb. He had to go see Yahweh. But think of the state that he was in. He was in that weakened, contaminated state that I can't. The man just called on Yahweh. He just said, I'm before Yahweh who I stand. Eliyah, before Yahweh. Anyway, go, hold up, go back. Here I go again. And Eliah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As Yahweh Elohim of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. He went to Carmel. Whatever God answers by fire, let him be mighty one. That's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 23. Hold up. Excuse me for 1 second, y'all. Sorry about that, family. Now, where was I? Okay. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to start at 22. He says, Then said Eliah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut into pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the mighty one that answers by fire, let him be mighty one. And all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. So, and we know the rest of the story. Yahweh was the one that answered by fire. But now he gets this message, and he was just so strong and just so strong. And now Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. Oh, no, I got to get away. I got to do this, I got to do that. Let me die, Father. Take my life. Yahweh says, look, let me talk to you, son. Get up the Horeb. Let me talk to you. We got to talk. Because we need that time of strengthening. You know? You need that separation from the world. You need that time when it's just you and Abba. So use this time wisely. Think about these men after they came back from the time that it was that one-on-one time with Yahweh. Think about it. Moshe was so full, his face was busting out with light. Eliyahu kept on doing the things that Eliyahu do, even to the point he was walking and walking and walking, picked up found his successor. And his successor said, give me a double portion of the spirit that's on you. Eliyahu said, okay, fine. If you see how you see me taken up, you got that. So what did he do? He tried to make him go away. He tried it. No, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Ooh, you ain't going nowhere. Let's go. But they got to a point where they were in a weakened state. So what did Yahweh do? Isolate them. He isolated them. Think about it, Israel. Are you in a weakened state? Use this time to strengthen yourself. Use this time to get closer to Yahweh. Use this time to do just like the example we have. The two examples we have. And let's look at our other brother. We'll look at the one in Mark. Okay. Mark chapter 1. Let's start at oh no, because this don't have all that. Not the one in Mark. Okay, look at the one in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 1. Matit Yahu, chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads, then was Yahushua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Elohim. Then the devil take him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall he bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yahushua said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh, your mighty one. again the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Yahushua unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh, thy mighty one, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So he went through a real trying time. One, he was hungry. He was fasting and everything. So he was in a weakened physical state. And a lot of times when we're in a weakened physical state, our mind don't work right. Satan knows that. Think about how irritable some people get when they're hungry. Not me, of course. But the fact that he kind of used that, because he was hoping to use that against Yahushua. He was hoping to wear him down mentally. So why was, and I think about the order of the questions, why was that the last one? The last question. You know, maybe I can get him thinking about some bread first. Think about how hungry he is. Yeah, I really am hungry. Yeah, I really want to go. Where it said I can't by man, where it said man can't live by bread alone. Hey, go ahead. Jump off this word, because your word says that his angels are gonna catch you. He's gonna get, that's what it say. Yeah, you know what? Right. They do say that. You're right. It says that. Thou shalt not tempt Yahweh. And please don't think, you know, I'm saying these things. The word said that Yahushua went through every temptation a man can. All these things that we go through, he's been through. So please don't think that his flesh did not rise up against him to make him not want to eat or anything like that, but he beat it down. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there any be any way, let this cup pass from me. He went through the things of a man. Yes, he was a perfect man, but what made him perfect is the fact that his unrelenting love for his father and to be obedient to his father to save us, his unrelenting love for us. That's what made him perfect, because he knew at any given time, any given slip up, Satan can get him, and I refuse to let them get God. His love for us, his longing for us and his father. Right? But again, him being in that weakened state, the angels came and ministered to him afterwards, strengthened them. Right? So, it was something else that I found pretty interesting. And Genesis chapter 50. We're going to start at verse 1. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 1, right? It says, and Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. Verse 3. and 40 days were fulfilled for him. So are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. So when I read this, I was like, wow. Joseph sat back and got his father embalmed, you know, because at the time, Joseph is second in charge of Egypt, you know, and that's something that Joseph did. He commanded his father to be embalmed. But the preparation time for our body was 40 days. And I found that real interesting, right? And I'm like, wow, that's real interesting. And then Yahweh showed me something else in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yahushua began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things of the kings and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye have heard of. So I got to thinking, why was it 40 days that Yahushua showed himself after the passion or after the sacrifice of his life on that stake? Was it that his body was being prepared? You know, and this is what's going through my mind, because I was thinking, Joseph, why did he say, Israel, go ahead and embalm this thing? Because when you embalm, it took 40 days for them to prepare this body. And then Yahushua, after his death, showed himself for 40 days after that, right before the Holy Spirit, right before the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping y'all see the connection that I'm seeing. And Yahweh, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. You know. But when he said the body was being prepared for me, well, we have scriptural evidence of a body being prepared for one named Israel. But it was after his death. You know, just food for thought. I found that really interesting. But more importantly, y'all, again, what Yahweh really put on my heart and my mind to talk about is for us to get closer. Use this time wisely. You know, he has separated us for a reason. He has set apart this time for a reason, right? Use this time to get close to Abba, you know, and just use it wisely. Don't waste it, you know. Elder Johnson said that this is a blessing in disguise, but people don't get it. And it really is a blessing in disguise. This is a time at the beginning of the new year, Pesach coming, that he has deemed, he allowed to happen. Well, for what purpose? And what purpose will you use it for? You know? Last verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that worketh and that wherein he labored? I have seen the travail which Elohim hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in his heart so that no man can find out the work that Elohim maketh from the beginning to the end. And with that, family, Lashana Tuva. If you got any questions, shoot them on the line. And, you know, hopefully we can we'll answer them. Not hopefully, we will answer them. But, I'll see something. Okay. Oh, that wasn't a question. Told Aki. I would do what he do, you know. But use this time wisely, family. And with that, I want to say cocoon. Right? Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are Mighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Mighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father, we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to hear us, Father. Father, thank you once again for setting apart this time for us, your holy Shabbat, just to sup with us, Father. Thank you for being mindful of us, Father. Father, open up our brother Yariel's mind to your word. Fill him up that he may dispense to us, Father, your word. Father, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for hedging us up, Father. If anyone who is suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father, however it is they're suffering, Father, heal them according to your word, Father. You know exactly what they need, Father. Make them whole, Father. Make them complete. Father, don't let us look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't allow us to be sloths, Father. Let us be like that ant, working towards you, Father. Working for the good of its community, working for the good of the whole, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over us. We ask that you continue to open your word to us, Father. We ask that you continue to grow us in the way that is good to you, Father. Have your good pleasure, Father. As our brother Ariel says, have thine own way, Father. Have thine own way with all of Israel, Father. Turn us into the men and women that you desire. In Yahushua's name, we ask you for all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Amen.